The following is a question and answer session given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on February 11th, 1994 in Balaram Dish.
Special type of alarm clock that when the time goes, it'll light insensitive. They may not wake you up. Even if it were to put a big plate of hot prasad in there, you'll be asleep while you want. But the sound is coming, that'll wake you. So the sense of hearing is always awake, it doesn't turn off. Therefore, to get a good sound sleep, we need a peace and quiet. So through hearing, we can awaken our spiritual consciousness and we can get the transcendental knowledge. Is that all right? Any other question? Surrender is a comprehensive program. Just like you're surrendering yourself to your employer, to work. He expects that when you're during the working hours, you'll be giving your intellectual, mental, physical, and full attention to your job. But you're doing that in exchange for some salary. Of course, depending on the level of responsibility in the job, like an ordinary worker, he may not have to use so much of his intellect. Say, delivery boy. That much he has to figure out how to go from here to there and deliver. But if you're one of the top managers or executive, then you have to give a lot of thought to everything you're doing and put you have to take the responsibility for what you're doing. That's why they are suffering stress nowadays in the management field and many aspects of work, sales, so on. So that employee, he's expecting certain, of course they don't expect that emotionally. Even in Japan, they want that even emotionally you should, you know, really be behind the company. They want that people should be emotionally involved also. But in the British and other, to a certain limited extent, they expect some loyalty also to the company. But maybe not fully emotionally involved, but some limited. So you can see that in this material world is like a perverted reflection. People are expecting that type of, almost like a surrender. And some, it may vary from one company to the next. Now when we're serving Krishna here, that surrender means that now we are working on behalf of Krishna's interest. It's not just the only mental or only physical. It's a total commitment to doing that which Krishna approved, which will be pleasing to Krishna, now working on behalf of Krishna's interest. Now Krishna is very practical. His idea is that naturally people will have to go on with their duties. But he's saying that the duties should be performed for his satisfaction. So therefore he created the Varnashram system, so that people in different ashrams, like someone's a brahmachari, a student, a grihastha, you know, a retired life. So different duties are there. So for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they're supposed to work simply for the interest of their guru. But for the grihasthas, naturally they have to maintain their families, their wife and children. They have social duties as well. So for them there are different sets of rules. But even as a grihastha, they have the same duties to chant Hare Krishna, to study Bhagavad Gita, to worship Krishna. And there are certain guidelines how they can lead their life in such a way that they will gradually go back to Krishna. So the surrender is that doing the things that Krishna wants us to do. Just like when you go to the job, if you start doing things which the company doesn't want, then they'll say that they'll complain or they won't appreciate what you're doing. This is a common sense thing. So if we are serving Krishna, obviously we have to do it. If we're surrendering to Him, that means now I'll do things the way you want. So Krishna says, this way you'll be a grihastha, this way you'll be a student, this way you'll be retired or renounced. You chant my holy names, you are in your house, you make a deity of me, you offer your food to me. Everything you do, whatever you give away, whatever you do in such a way that it's an offering to me. So there's a... Now in a job you're only working 8 to 5 or 7 to 1 and 4 to 7 or whatever, different, whatever, according to your time period. But being surrendering to Krishna is the 24 hours a day. But since it's a long-term surrender, so all the other activities can also be fit within that. You can simultaneously working in your job while you're surrendering to Krishna. Because that work is a temporary, it's in a much lower dimension. You're working, you're getting your income, with income you're maintaining your family. Now if the work involves doing something totally... Say the work involved that you were supposed to slaughter animals, then that might be restricted. One would avoid doing such a thing. But otherwise, the normal work that we do, where we're not directly involved in any sinful activity, then we do then with our work, we offer the results to Krishna in the way He prescribes, maintaining our family and helping them in their spiritual life, maintaining our house in a pure way. House becomes an ashram. Using any surplus income for Krishna's service. Different ways we can avoid, therefore, any contact with karma. Because we're working on behalf of Krishna, we are not affected by karma. If we're working on our own behalf, we have to take whatever the karma we get. If we're working on Krishna's behalf, then there's no reaction. So Arjuna, he was a warrior, he's killing soldiers in the battle. But he's not touched by any karma, because he's doing it before Krishna. So if we do our activities in order to please Krishna, we do it in such a way that Krishna's devotional service is promoted, then Krishna will take the karma. But if we do on our own behalf, then we have to take the karma. Just like there was one in one country, I have a disciple, he works for the military police, intelligence. That means he's a kind of a spy who works for the military police. So he has to go. Sometimes they tell him that you go and you work in this place, you get a job, you tell us what's going on. Or you go to this religious institution and sit and listen to the lecture, and you tell us if they say anything about politics or anything, you report. You just go like an ordinary devotee and listen. And maybe someone like that, you don't know. So that's his job. Now, he's assigned by them to go and do so many different things. So he's going and working and all that. But that's all part of his job. He's being paid by them. Plus he's going and he's getting some other job. But that's only because they told him. So I'm using that as an example. We're working on behalf of Krishna. We're surrendered to Him. But he's telling us, alright, you have family, you maintain your family. To do that, you take a job or you do business or you do this, you do that. But actually, we're not really working for this. That's just a super temporary arrangement we're making for our survival. But who we really work for, who our supreme boss is Krishna. That is what surrender means. Just like Prahlad, he surrendered to Krishna. But being a five-year-old boy, he has to follow what his father says. So when his father says, you go down, you go to sleep, you go to school, he did everything. But only when his father told him, you give up Krishna, then he said, that I can't do. You know, you're Krishna devotee, I'm surrendered to Krishna. I'll do everything you say as a father, but if you tell me, give up Krishna, that I can't do. So the devotee makes it clear, actually. Ultimately, who is serving is Krishna. That the father didn't like it. He was an asura. He wanted only you should serve me. Why God? I am God. There's no higher God than me. Appa Bhagavan. Father is God. That was his concept. But Prahlad said, no, your power is coming from the Supreme Lord. So I worship, I'm following you because you are representing the Lord. No, I am God. There's no God other than me. If you say there's another God, let him come before me, otherwise I'll... He was a very Ugra Panti. But actually Prahlad was a very good... He went to the school, his father said go to school, he went to school. He said, Lord, hear your teacher, he heard his teacher. He didn't agree with what they were saying, but he listened, he did. Lord Chaitanya said that just like if a wife had a lover other than the father, than the husband, she would do her household activities very carefully, not to be detected by the husband, that she has another lover. But all the time, naturally, her mind will be thinking of the other person, even though she's putting on all the show. So like that, we should do our material duty. Anyone see, they think that this person is so devoted to his activity, very good in his family business, but they don't know, actually only he's thinking that how I can please Krishna. Ultimately, at the end of this life, I want to leave this whole material world and go back to Krishna. This is another concept of surrender. That's why these big rishis, they can't figure out what is their bhakta position, because superficially they look like anybody else. But actually, everything they're doing it as a devotion for Krishna. Therefore, they're not on the same status. They're in another dimension. That's why Durvasa Muni cursed Ambarish to... And instead, Durvasa Muni had to run because the curse came back on him. Eventually, he came back to Ambarish, and after going to Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, he came all the way back and told Ambarish's lotus feet and begged him for forgiveness. He said, I didn't realize that you are just... that you are a bhakta. I didn't realize what it meant to be a bhakta. Now I understand to be a surrendered soul to Vishnu means you are the most powerful person in the universe. Because all the power of Vishnu is with you. And what am I? I'm just a yogi. I have only limited power from my tapasyas. Against you, I'm finished. So therefore, I'm falling at your feet and begging you, please. So you being whatever, someone, a student or grihastha, whatever they may be, just being householder, they can get all the unlimited power of Vishnu simply by this process of dedicating their life for serving the Lord. But for external viewpoint, they may look like anyone else. That's why even when Prabhupada went to the Western country and he was preaching, the Catholic and the Protestant Christian priests, they are coming and saying, what you have done to our children? When they were at us, they were just dull-faced and they didn't do much. But now when they come with you, they're bright-faced, they're very active, they have all the good qualities. What you have done? So even visibly they could see that there was a change when the people took to the devotional service. Is that any clearer? Who is the proprietor of your body? Can you say? Who is the owner, proprietor of your body?
And the sole proprietor is God, Lord Krishna.
Any other idea? He's saying that the soul is the owner of the body, and the body is, the soul is owned by
Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor of this body.
Krishna is proprietor of the body. Mother. They are the owner.
They are the
component. They're a component. Who is the owner of the body?
Part and parcel of Krishna.
I believe
mind and intelligence, and it is controlled by the soul.
Mind and intelligence are the owners of the body.
Yeah, it's controlled by the soul.
But mind and intelligence, do they have any separate existence?
No.
Then how they can be the owner?
Our soul is soul.
Soul. So here we have, anyway, two main ideas we're getting. Either the soul is the owner or the Krishna is the owner.
Krishna
is the owner. Of course, then the soul being the owner is with the qualification that soul is owned by Krishna. So if Krishna is the sole proprietor of the Atma, then whatever the Atma owns, the Krishna also owns. Isn't it? So ultimately, this is all Krishna's energy. Krishna is saying, Daiva Hyesi Gunamai, this is my divine energy. Actually, we're simply borrowing this body, you can say. We're given, just like you're working for a company, they may give you a company car. You use the car. Now, if you want to say, this is my car, I can smash it, or I can take and I can do, will the company be happy with it? So actually, all of us are having only company car. This car is given by Krishna. But what we're doing is, why we're in this material world is because we're misusing the energy Krishna gives us. And we're using it in the way that He doesn't authorize. If we fully use it the way He prescribes, then we get elevation. And if we use it in the way He doesn't prescribe, then we get punishment. If we fully use this in His service, then as a result, He'll exchange this car for one eternal car. He'll give us back our original spiritual form. We don't have to go anymore into the cycle of birth or death. So simply if we use this body, the company car, in the way which Krishna is prescribing in His devotional service, then as a result we can go back to Krishna. We can leave this temporary car and He gives us our eternal Siddha Sarup, or spiritual body. So surrender, actually, what does it mean? Surrender means we understand that this whole material world, this body, is ultimately property of Krishna. I am the property of Krishna. What to speak of what I possess? I am a part of Krishna. I am the Atma, I am this, and I am part of Krishna. Being part of Krishna, what is my function or role, but to serve Krishna. The hand is part of the body, it will serve the whole body. I am part of Krishna, I should serve Krishna. When we have that understanding, then where is the question of karma? Surrender comes automatically with the proper understanding. If we simply understand what is our relationship with Krishna, who we are, then naturally, surrender will be the next step. Because simply understanding I am part of Krishna, then I have no separate interest from Krishna. So any other question? We'll go to the next question. Yes?
Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that whoever worships any demigods, indirectly he is worshipping me. So he has not, it is not in the Bhagavad Gita, it is more clear that whether this Catholic religious or Muslim religious also owning by the Krishna or what?
Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that He gives the faith in the heart. Someone wants to worship Him, either directly or indirectly, some way, then He gives the faith. So if they're worshipping indirectly, then ultimately that's meant for Him. He's the only independent Lord. So in that way, any kind of religious faith that one has, Krishna gives that faith to them. That's based upon they want to have faith. They want to worship in a particular way. So in order to allow them, He gives them faith. Now they may choose to worship in a correct way. They may choose to worship in a not a very developed way. But some amount of devotion they have, and they want to worship in a particular way. So then Krishna fixes their faith. Okay, you can worship like this. When in Bhagavad Gita he's saying that the ideal situation is they should directly worship me. Then they'll directly come back to me. But if they indirectly worship me, then they'll get indirect benefits.
But he doesn't say in which form he has to be worshipped.
What do you mean?
In which form he has to be worshipped. That doesn't specifically say in the Bhagavad Gita. Any form. So also to Arjuna, he showed the form of, you know, all forms. Visharupa.
Visharupa.
So there is nothing which is not in it. So when he says, when he shows that whatever forms or there is not in the world which is not in there. So he was showing that everything is his creation, or he is master of all. And but he doesn't say in which form he has to be worshipped.
Yeah, Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, you say both.
Krishna is showing the visarupa, showing how everything is within the universe. But does Krishna say that you can worship any of the parts of the universal form, and that is also worship for me? He says, Matmana Bhavamad Bhakto, you bow down to me, you be my devotee. Matmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Manga Maskuru Mangi Vaishati Satyam Te Pratijano Vyoshine. You worship me, you bow down to me. Now when he showed the universal form, he showed how everything is within him. Then after that, Arjuna, he said what? He said, you know, I ask you to take your four-handed form. Adrishta purvam drishitosmi drishtva bhayena cha pravyathitam manome tadeva medarsaya deva rupam prasiddha devesha jagam nivasa. After seeing this universal form which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Kirittinam gaddhinam chakrahashtam ichami tvam drashtam aham tataiva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhavavishya morte. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with cloud, wheel, conch and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. So Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna. And then Arjuna, he wanted to see the four-handed form, chaturbhuj, shankha, chakra, gada, padma, lotus, club, chakra, the wheel and the club, pancha. So then he took, then the Lord very happily, he went from the universal form to the four-handed form. So Krishna is saying, you have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind you can now see the form you desire. So then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form, and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. The Visvarupa is actually considered a temporary form of the Lord, because the Viswa is only manifested sometimes. Universe is not always manifested. After the Pralaya, there's no universe, so there's no more universal form. Only while the universe is manifested can you see the mana, the universal form.
After the pranaya, we see Krishna in as a small child, you know, drifting on the water.
That's not after pralaya, that's during pralaya, isn't it? That you can see, Krishna in the baby form you can always see. Krishna's baby form is always existing. But universal form, once there's no more universe, the universe after the pralaya, it goes back into the body of the Mahavishnu. Then where is the universe? Then only the spiritual world is there. Only Narayan is there, Krishna is there. There's no more Indra, Vayu, no more Devi. Nothing is there. Everything is taken out and put into the Mahavishnu. Only the spiritual world is there. That time there is no universal form. But baby form of Krishna you can always see. Because that's in Golok Vrindavan. That's always there. And that's also sometimes visible in the material world. Four-handed finally came down to two-handed form. So all this time Krishna is speaking. Then when Arjuna finally saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. What did Krishna say? Sri Bhagavan Vacha Sudur Darsham Idam Rupam Drishtavam Asigan Mama Deva Apyasya Rupasya Nityam Darsana Kankshina. Bhagavan said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the devas are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. Actually, the form of Krishna with two hands is more difficult to see than Visharupa. Now, the rest of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is only speaking with the two-handed form. So, and with that form, Krishna explains, you cannot see this form. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Naham vedaya na tapasa na danena na chejaya sakya evam vido drashtum drishtavan asimam yatha bhaktya tvanyanyaya sakya aham evam vido arjuna Gyatum drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you. Krishna is saying, I am standing before you in my original spiritual form. But this form cannot be realized by studying Vedas, by penances, by jnana, by karma, by any means. Only by ananya bhakti can you understand me as I am. This is the most confidential form. Because only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So very clearly Krishna is saying to understand his two-handed form as the supreme form. Very clear from the Visharupa chapter. And he explains here, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Krishna is talking about the Lord in the spiritual world. Himself was always living in the spiritual world. In the Brahma Sanghita, it very clearly explains. Where is the Brahma Sanghita? You know how to chant?
Yes.
Chintamani
pragara satmadu galpavuccha nachavudeshu suravira vipalayandam లక్ష్మీ సగస్త సదసంప్రద సేవ్యమానం గోవిందమాదిపురుషం తమహం భజామి. వేణుం గుణంద మరవింద దయాదాక్షం లక్షాపదేశం సుందరాంగం కందర్పగోడి కమనీయ విశేష శోభం గోవిందమాదిపురుషం తమహం
భజామి. With full, this is this book by Vishnu Ketra. Where's the
Bamsanda? I worship Govinda, the primeval lord who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of pupils. Alola Chandrakala Sadvanamalya Bhansi Radnam Radha Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasam Syamam Trilanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with a moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with a flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyama Sundara is eternally manifest. So here in this verse, and very clearly in these verses, saying Tribhanga, his threefold bending form, he's having the two hands holding the flute. It's very clear what form of the Lord to worship. Also in Bhagavad Gita is very clear, Krishna shows the universal form, then he shows the forehand, then he is back to two hand. After that, he is telling Arjuna to worship him, to surrender to him, to think of him. So from that one can understand that he is talking about his personal form. Visharupa is a kind of impersonal form because it's having so many different aspects to it. It's containing everything. So in 12th chapter we were reading, he's explaining that it's difficult to fix the mind on the impersonal form. But he's saying it's those who fix their minds on my personal form are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, are considered by me to be most perfect. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. They finally, by doing impersonal worship, you can also achieve. But what's he saying? But for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested and personal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So there are different paths. All the paths are ultimately leading to Krishna. But he is saying that those who are worshipping him in his personal form, personal means two-handed or four-handed. Universal form is a special manifestation. And the impersonal truth is a form of the Lord which is also not different. It's his spiritual form. But that form is difficult to worship. So Bhagavad Gita directly and indirectly is advising us that it's better to worship the personal form.
It says somewhere how he has to be meditated upon the form of the Chaturbhuja with all the Sanat Chakra, Buddha Chakra, how he has to be meditated from starting from top to his face.
Lord in the heart, second canto Bhagavatam. What was the question?
So there it says how he has to be meditated upon, not in Krishna form but in Narayana form.
Okay, now you accept that either Narayana form or Krishna form is recommended in Shastra.
Yes.
that Vishwarupa form is only a preliminary meditation. But ultimately, Shastra is recommending we should go to the personal form. Because Vishwarupa is the first stage. For someone who has no faith in God, if they can understand the universal form, then they can see the universe. They can see that all the universal energy is under the Lord. So naturally they'll appreciate His power. Then from that we come up to the personal form. So in second canto Bhagavatam is recommending that the yogis, those who are doing the yoga system, they're meditating in Paramatma in the heart. The form of the Paramatma is having four hands. So naturally if you're meditating on the Paramatma in the heart, we'll see the Lord with the four hands. But subsequently and later cantos of the Bhagavatam, it also shows how other great devotees who are not Paramatma yogis doing the meditation, but rather they were simple, even ladies, or they were other types of men who are not necessarily experienced in that type of yoga meditation, they also could achieve that perfection simply by worshipping the Lord. So for us, you see that whether you worship two-hand or four-hand is a lesser question. Because these are the two different forms of the Lord. Four-handed means opulence and majesty. And two-handed means very intimate and personal. And later it's described that Krishna's form is the original form. And the form of Narayana is a manifestation or expansion from Krishna. But if someone wants to worship the Narayana form, we have no objection. Or if they want to worship the Krishna form or Rama form or Narasimha form, any form of Vishnu is alright to be worshipped as the Supreme. If they're just different forms of the same person, there's only one Lord. He appears in the next verse in Brahma Sri Ananta Rupa.
What
is the translation?
I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions.
And the other Ananta Rupa? Anari Ananta Rupam. Second.
Advaita Vachyuta Manadi Mananda Rupam Adhyam Purana Purisham Navayam Vanamcha Vede Shudurlava Madurlava Matabhattu Govinda Madhi Purisham Namakam Bajami. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by the pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is beginning and the eternal Purusha. Yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth.
So the Lord, he has got unlimited.
Unlimited forms.
It's like, as a human being, you can see that people have got different natures, different aspects to their personality. You may see someone in the office, behind the desk, he's having one way of dealing. You see him in his house with his wife and family, he's dealing another way. Then you see that he's in the golf course or something with his other colleagues, he's dealing another way. We may also see that he's singing some bhajans or doing some dramatic performance. So a different environment, they may act in a different way, different aspects of the personality are manifest. But it's the same person in the same body. But Krishna being the Lord, for every environment, for every situation, he can assume a different rupa. If he wants to show his anger, he can come like a Narasimha Dev with a who can be more ferocious than a tiger or a lion. More than a human being being angry, if you see a tiger roaring, you become frightened. So he can show his anger as a Narasimha. Or he wants to show how he can be innocent and he can be like a baby floating on a leaf. Or if he wants to show how everything is within him, he can show the universal form. Like this, he has so many unlimited forms. But he's only the one Lord. So Bhagavad Gita is recommending we worship this person. And ultimately the form of Krishna in two hands is considered to be the best. Regard though, Sri Sampradaya, they prefer worshipping Narayan. And we were reading Bhishma Dev and Bhagavatam last night. He also wants to feel like he's a devotee of Narayan. So some people, they like to worship the Lord as Narayan with the four hands. So Lord Chaitanya didn't disturb. If they want to worship Narayan, they can worship. This is one of the forms of the Lord. But sometimes they were telling Lord Chaitanya like this, that nobody ever said, why do you want to worship Krishna? Krishna is only the avatar of Narayan. You should worship Narayan. Why do you say that Narayan is the avatar of Krishna? So then Lord Chaitanya said, alright, if Narayana is the incarnation of Krishna, I mean, if Krishna is expansion from Narayana, that means Narayana must have everything that Krishna has. Isn't it? Of course. Then why is it that Lakshmi was doing tapasya to go to the Rasa-lila of Krishna? Why she wasn't happy with being with Narayana? She wanted to go to Krishna's Rasa-lila? Because Narayana doesn't have the Rasa-lila, only Krishna is having. Then they didn't know what to say. Then he asked one more question, and after doing the tapasya, you please tell me, why was it that Lakshmi was prohibited, that she cannot go to Rasa-lila? Purana says, not only she did tapasya to go to the Krishna's pastime, but after doing it, she was still denied. She cannot go. So if she was the supreme, then why Krishna can prohibit her? Parsana Muni, who is the father of Vyasadeva, he did a study of all devas, and all the different avatars and forms of Bhagavan mentioned in Vedas, in that knowledge that was available at that time. So he came to a study that you can find the 64 principal qualities to analyze this. Lord Brahma and other and devas and other jivas, like human beings, they can have maximum 50 of those 64. And Brahma has got the most. And others have minute quantities. But trace element, they may have up to 50 qualities. Then they found that Lord Shiva has got 55 of the 64. He has got 5 more qualities. Then Narayana is having again 5 more than Shiva does not have. Bring him up to 60. But only Krishna has got all the 64 qualities. Therefore, he came to the conclusion that Krishna is the complete form of the Absolute Truth. He is the full form of Bhagavan. And all the other forms are partial. So Narayana has got 93%, Shiva has got 85%, and the Brahma has only got 78% of the quality. But in quantity, quantitative of the Krishna, unlimited quantity, and they're having some minute. So like this, there's various evidences. Even in Shiva Purana, Shiva is telling to Parvati, you chant the Sahasranam of Vishnu. Vishnu's name, he says, is Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. You worship Vishnu, that is the supreme form of worship, and worshipping is those things connected with him is even better than worshipping him. Then she was discussing like that Puranas. So again Shiva told to Parvati that if you chant the name of Ram, Aka Rama Nama Sahasra Nama Tulabhis Aka Rama Nama Varada Dev. And my beautiful faced goddess, Devi, if you chant the name of Rama, it's actually Param Brahma. and by chanting the name of Ram, it is equal to chanting 1000 name of Vishnu. Then he explained that if you chant name of Krishna, the two syllable Krish and Na also signify the absolute truth or Param Brahma. And by chanting the name of Krishna, that is equal to chanting 3000 times the name of Vishnu, or 3 times the Sahasranam of Vishnu. So in this way, there are various evidences in the Vedas showing how worship of Krishna is more effective than worship of Ram or worship of Vishnu. But Vishnu, Krishna, Ram, they are all formed for the same Lord, but potential is different. Now we being a most fallen state, to worship Vishnu you have to be very formal, you have to be very correct, where Krishna is very kind and gracious, and Krishna is very accessible as a cowherd boy, as a child, so some more compassion is there. So being in a fallen state, we need also more compassion, we need more mercy. We may not do everything exactly correct in a formal way, being out of the culture. So it's easier also to approach Krishna simply out of devotion, he'll accept. Even if formally you may make some minor mistake, he will overlook that. But if you're approaching the Lord in his formal aspect, then you have to be very correct in everything you're doing. Just like if you go to meet the ruler, you have to know all the etiquette, exactly how to behave, how to speak, and to take some training course. If you're going to meet in the court, but sometimes if you can meet in a private area and he's just come with a friend or something, that may be different. So meeting Krishna is like meeting in a very private, intimate way, where there's not all the formal aspect. Any other questions? Yes?
When the soul leaves the body, is there any signal or indication for that male that his soul is going to leave the body? With my personal experience, when my father expired in December 1982, you know, the doctor suggested one living shunt is to be established in the body for liver and heart connection. So I was talking, at that time it was the latest in India. I was trying to get it from States. So, you know, by the time doctor get it, you know, one spares the living shunt from another doctor and he's established in the body. So when they were doing this and I was also going around, my father told me, son, why going here and there? There's no more much time for me. So after, you know, before dying, he was 5 days continuously unconscious. Before 5 days, and in unconsciousness only he, you know, his soul left the body. I know my father was one of the great devotees for the God. So I want to know, so is that signal, is that indication for everybody or for himself or somebody special devotee for the God, that his soul is going to leave the body? For ordinary people also, is there any advanced knowledge that he's going to die?
Those who are more spiritually blessed, they get some conscious understanding that time is coming to the end. Natural cause also, my material nature gives us an indication when we're about to go. There are certain symptoms. One of the symptoms is old age. As we are getting older, we start losing our teeth. We start losing our eyesight, hair falls out. So we are gradually given some indication that we are the Atma. We have to leave the body. We are the Atma. Your father is the soul. Your father left the body. Not that your father had a soul. Your father is the soul. And just like he told you that I am not here to stay long, don't bother all these things. In material life we are struggling how to make the body, just the body and soul together for a short time longer. But when we are already in old age, we know that sooner or later we have to go, or someone may get also some direct understanding that I'm not to stay long. So that time is more important, not how to simply extend the life a few days longer or a few years longer, but how we can go to the next destination. Prabhupada, he gave instruction that when I get sick, don't take me to hospital. Don't let them put all the tubes and things in. Don't try to keep me alive by some life support system. I want you to simply chant Hare Krishna and now let me go in association of devotees. So sometimes we may think we're doing a favor by trying to just implant this, that, and so many. But at a certain point, it's no use, just no real advantage. More important, let the person go to the next birth, get a better, or go to the next place. And remember Krishna while he's going. The people have the proper understanding that who the person is. The person is not the body. The person is the soul. And the consciousness is a symptom of the soul. When soul leaves body, soul never dies. So if we can remember Krishna when we leave the body, then we go back to Krishna. So it's very important that we can remember Krishna at the time of birth.